Welcome to today's episode of Behind the Dish Softball with your hosts, Ashley Rowley, Shelby Babcock, and Dr. Allie Dake. If you haven't done so, please hit that subscribe button so you never miss another episode. And be sure to follow us on social media at Behind the Dish SB. Again, on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook at Behind the Dish SB. Hello, everyone, and welcome to today's episode of Behind the Dish Softball. I'm your co-host, Ashley Rowley, along with my girls, Shelby Babcock and Dr. Allie Dake. So today's conversation is kind of the grand finale, if you will, of the Games Mental Performance Strategy Series. We've talked about goal setting. We've talked about affirmations. We've talked about in-game mental performance. And today, Dr. Allie is going to walk us through the evaluation and the stress relief process. So in all transparency and authenticity, if you're watching this, there's a reason that you only see one half of my face. It is because I had dental work this morning and the left side of my face is completely numb. Therefore, my expressions are super comical. So if Shelby just busts out laughing for no reason, it's because I can't control the left side of my face at this moment in time.
I'm glad we got that out there.
Taking one for the team. Dr. Allie, let's bring a level of seriousness back to today's conversation.
I'll try. Don't count on me for the seriousness. Hi, everybody. Okay, so thanks for the intro there and the recap of games. We are going to talk about evaluation and stress relief. And they come in line in the games of the acronym games, but they don't necessarily have to go in the order of the E and the S. So they are post-game activities and they're meant for you to, some of us might need a stress relief and then come back and evaluate. And some might want to evaluate right away and then be done and go into the stress relief. So this is really personal to you and which way you choose to, manage this part of the system. However, I'm going to talk about it, the E and the S, and I'll probably bounce back and forth a little bit. So the E stands for evaluation, and it is really important that you understand that when you are evaluating your game, your performance on the field and the game or the tournament or the practice or a batting session or a pitching session, whatever it is, when you're evaluating it, you need to understand that you evaluate it in order to learn from it, not to sabotage yourself and start saying, oh, I was so bad. I should have hit like this. I had my elbow down or I had so many errors. That's not the purpose of this, okay? So the very, very first thing you need to understand is that when you are evaluating yourself, it is for feedback to become better. It is to look at it and learn. Look in that rearview mirror to see what you can do better in the future, okay? And then it's also, we want, because in the system, we have a goal that we have an offense and a defense that we've brought through the system down through into a game. We've done affirmations with, we're doing our mental power in game activities with it, that when you do this evaluation, relate your evaluation back to your goal. And did you achieve the goal? How was the goal working? Do I need to tweak my evaluation, affirmation? Okay. So that is the whole purpose of evaluating. As an athlete, you don't want to spend much more than 5-10 minutes evaluating, because then you're going to start to overthink. You're going to start to become critical. You're going to start to find other faults or other discrepancies, if you will. So again, keep it linked to your goal that is at hand or the two goals that you had, and you look back into it and see how you performed with it. Is your affirmation helping you? Is it the words are correct? Did I achieve my goal? Am I successfully every time I'm at the game or at a batting practice or pitching, whatever it is your goal is around, am I successfully accomplishing that? And if you are, then it's time to go step up to another goal, right? So this is the place that you get to see, am I accomplishing it or am I still working towards this? I recommend, and we recommend that when you're in this evaluation process, that you actually journal it. And it's not a journal of everything in your life. It's specifically a sports journal for the game. Okay. So if you were coming off of a game, you would want to journal in there. Okay. The other, keep track of the other teams, start being strategic in how you're looking at the game, right? Oh, the number seven, she pitches outside all the time, or right field always catches line drives. I don't know. Like, you keep track of all the different details of the game in your, while you're journaling. And then you can also keep track of what you did in relation to your goal, right? So what happened? Did you like the goal that we were using? I think, Shelby, we were talking about like pitching last time. I can't remember our example now, but we were talking about pitching to your spot. Did you pitch to your spot all the time? And okay, when I didn't pitch to the spot, what was the antecedent to my thought? Was I letting outside influences come into my brain? Was something on the field that distracted me? Yeah. Or was I, and then when I missed my spot, what happened? Like, what did I do? What did I do? And how did I feel? Did I start to spiral down? What were my thoughts that were taking me down? Or did I stay up and I stayed strong? Did I recover? Those are the things that you want to keep track of in your journaling as an athlete, because those are the things that you can go back and start to see patterns inside of what you were doing, right?
Yeah.
So when you're highly recommended, journal after the game itself, and also put things that were great and things that could use improvement, right? And they may not be associated to the goal, but always talk about your goal. And one thing that journaling is really important for is it gets it out of our brain and puts it on paper, and it releases you of that thought. And so you can come back and evaluate it later. Okay. Some athletes like to do this in the car ride home. They like to plug in music, or they put the hoodie over their head, or if they're not driving, they want to just decompress in the car, a little bit of stress relief going in the car, and think about it. And the older athletes, the older ones that are driving themselves, they get home and they usually do their stress relief, which we're going to talk about, and then they do their evaluation. So like I said, they can kind of weave in and out. I know you guys have talked about having in college that you started to learn this process and that you watched footage and it was a whole new process for you.
This was a complete, I didn't learn this stuff until after my career was over, to be honest with you. I mean, I think we talked about in the goal setting episode where, you know, my freshman year, I remember going in and coach was, you know, we were working goal setting. And for me, I was like, well, I want to be an All-American. Well, that's great, but I didn't know how to set measurable goals to get me to that point. Right. So,
right.
I didn't learn this until post career. And it's one of those things, like, how good could I really have been if I'd had these tools? One thing that I tell my athletes all the time, I mean, you talked about journaling, is I'll tell them at the end of the tournament, at the end of the day, I want you to write down two things that you did really well. And I want you to write down one thing that we're going to improve upon tomorrow. Right? Because so often when they get stuck in that evaluation process, it's, I did this wrong. I did this wrong. I did this wrong. But they don't take the time to say, no, tell me what you did really well. And they have to stop and they have to think for a little bit. But what that does is it makes you acknowledge that you're doing good things, that you are succeeding. And now we're going to take that one thing as it's an adjustment. I mean, we talked about in the goal setting episode that just because you didn't achieve a goal, it doesn't mean you suck at life, right? And it doesn't mean exactly. You should abandon that goal. We have to say, okay, this didn't work today. What can I do tomorrow? What can I tweak? What do I need to focus on to make sure that I can take one step closer to achieving that
goal tomorrow? Yeah.
And I think notice, a big these are measurable goals.
Yeah.
Right. Absolutely. You have to have goals that when you're evaluating something, you have to be able to measure that, right? That's the whole purpose of that evaluation. Right. What you can't measure is I'm going to give 110%. Why do you measure that?
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I think a big thing for me when I was growing up is I journaled a lot, in club ball, middle school to high school, I journaled a lot. And a big thing that did help me when I got into college, I actually took those journals with me and I was able to go back and look at all this. And that's why I make all my girls do it now. Cause I'm like, don't lose your journal. Don't, huge. I mean, we got to make sure we keep those, cause this is big stuff that you can be using in your lifetime, right? It doesn't have to necessarily just be with pitching, right? It's, it's stuff to go back and look on and be like, hey, I accomplished all of this. It's so cool to be able to go back just through your journal and be like, oh, I hit this speed this day. Oh my gosh, I gained 10 miles an hour. I gained this much on my spin, or I gained this. And that's actually a big help for me, is being able to write everything down. Sometimes it was negative, and that's what I've learned as I've gotten to college. When I got to college, is it can't always be that, right? I got to make sure that I keep those positives going a little bit more. So
absolutely. You have to put those celebrations in there too, the victories, the things that worked really, really well. That's why I said, make sure you put in the things that worked well. And sometimes you have games that are amazing, right? Mm-hmm. And they don't, it was perfect. Like everything was perfect and you even won. And you need to write those things down too and evaluate that. What was working that day? Why were you so on fire? Right? Yeah. Why were you the rock star? Why were you hitting your spots?
What was your mental approach before?
What was your mental approach?
Right.
Right. Yeah. So that's why I'm always asking the girls, okay, when you say that, what does it mean? And what were you thinking before that? Like, and part of it is to become, open up your mind, to become cognizant so that you're aware of your thinking so that you can stay in front of your thinking.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I'll do, I've implemented this quite a bit in hitting workouts, is I can tell when an athlete starts to really get in their heads because they get tight, their swing changes. And I'll just say out loud, I need everyone to do a mindset check for me. Yeah. What are you thinking? What should we be thinking? And they know, okay, kick this. You know what I mean? It's like, it's like we talked about putting them on the left side or the non-dominant side, where they feel uncomfy and it shakes all the goo out of their head, and they come back and now they're nice and smooth. They've got a solid approach, right? But doing those mindset checks is incredibly important. And I'll ask them on a couple, what were you thinking on those last five that didn't feel good? Oh, I was really focusing on this mechanic and this mechanic. And I'll say, okay, now the last five where you tore the cover off the ball, what were you thinking? I was just feeling my rhythm and attacking the ball. Ah, okay. There we go. And that's the hardest part, is carrying that mindset with them, right? Like as human beings, we're wired to get in the weeds so much. And the analytical part really takes over, that we can get too in the weeds.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, and I think this is where I think that, what I'm trying to say is, the next part that I want to talk about inside of this evaluation is going to be directed to the parents that are listening. We drive our kids often in places, and we want to talk to them. We want to talk to them about everything that just happened after a game, after a practice. And you can apply this to other things in their life. Here's some really strict guidelines on how to do this so that it's productive and positive. The first thing is you only get to talk for 5 minutes, period. You set the timer. That's it. Not 1 second more. And honestly, you don't do the talking. You ask open-ended questions in third-person voice, right? Third-person voice, open-ended questions, 5 minutes only. It's not about you and your experience. And if you're asking open-ended questions, then you shouldn't be answering them. Your athlete, your child should be answering them. So the reason is we want to deflate any negative emotion, right? And if what we've learned over the last few weeks, there's an event, you have an event, there's an emotion attached to it. So if they had a really great day and they had awesome and they felt like they did really good, and you start talking about the errors they made, you just deflated that emotion, right? Let them evaluate themselves and let them feel the emotion that they feel. So they feel good, ask them. You don't say, hey, how was that game today? If they're kind of being quiet, what's going on in the brain? You want to depersonalize it, de-emotional it, and let them talk. Let them say whatever they want to say and build the conversation and the questions off of what they are saying. And at the end of that 5 minutes, shut it down. Mm-hmm. Don't do. And I promise you, I have several teams that are doing this right now. And a lot of parents come back and say, oh my gosh, that was the hardest thing in the world, to be in the car after a game and not talk about it and put my point in. Well, the coaches already know what they need to work on in practice, so you don't need to reiterate that as a parent. And you need to let the athlete say what they want to say and be done. mm-hmm. right? Sometimes they don't want to talk about it and sometimes they do. And so it's a hard practice to do, but it is absolutely rewarding because you will get to hear what they're thinking and they will talk about their feelings or whatever they want. And then it's over yeah. and you let it be. Right. Go ahead.
I was going to say it's huge. I mean, I like to come at my athletes and I surprise them a lot, but after a hitting session and I can tell how they're beating themselves up right after they come out of the cage, and I'll come up to them and I'll say, what do you think worked for you today? And so I force them to focus, to find something that went well. Mm-hmm. And I don't even need to address anything else. Mm-mm. They know. But so often as coaches and parents, the first thing, like if you look at post-game speeches by coaches, a lot of times the first thing out of their mouth is the errors, and they start yelling, especially after a loss, right? Mm-hmm. Why couldn't we just say, hey, this is what I really liked today. This really worked well. We know perfectionism is unattainable. In practice, we're going to continue to reinforce and work on X, Y, and Z so we can mm-hmm. be better in that kind of situation.
Well, and again, that's why? How you talk about it. That's how yeah. you communicate it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Why do we have to get in and start berating these kids mm-hmm. for a strikeout? Yeah. Strikeouts happen. That's part of the darn game.
Yeah. Welcome to softball.
It's part of the game, but why yeah, do we have to really berate is. The kids?
Well, yeah. And this, so the same rules apply to the coaches that we coach and talk to. Max 5 minutes, especially mm-hmm. when you're at a tournament and you have another game coming, you actually have to get into the stress relief. They need yeah. to decompress. Mm-hmm. They don't, if they have a 20 minute break, you don't spend 15 minutes talking to them, maybe no. three. Majority of that needs to be decompression. Mm-hmm. It's if you want to deflate the emotion, if it was a win, you want to like, let that event hold that emotion of positive, so they're spiraling up mm-hmm. and then start bringing it forward, right?
If you, yeah.
And so you want to keep that energy going. If it was a loss, you want to deflate that emotion as quickly. That's called refractory. Okay. So when we have an event and there's a negative response to it, the amount of time that you can shorten that distance, the less likely it's going to have the greatest impact. Mm-hmm. The longer that event holds space is the bigger impact. So if the negative event happens, you want to deflate it quickly, get into that stress relief and get into the next game.
And don't get me wrong.
Actually, to your point, sitting there hounding them and getting yeah. on them about the errors isn't the way to do it.
No, don't get me wrong. When you make a mistake, you strike out with a game on the line, it's supposed to hurt. You lose a big game. That's because you care about the game. That's because you care about your performance. So there's a level of that that is good. The fact that you care and you're mad, that's a good thing. Absolutely. It shows you yeah. care, right? Now, we don't get to live down there. We don't get to linger down there. You got to pick yourself up and come back and get mm-hmm. back up and move forward with the evaluation and the adjustment piece, right? Now, if we're talking to parents and coaches, if it's an attitude and an effort thing, you do you.
Yeah, there's a big difference.
That's a controllable. Now, if we're talking about skill acquisition and skill performance, physical performance, you want to keep them moving forward or else you're going to burn those kids out really fast. And that's not going to be fun. And that's not going to be a good scenario for anybody.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. And so when you talk about controllables, the coach does and can control that conversation.
You guys, and my face is control working. The, sorry, it's getting there.
I know she's smiling. Yeah. You as a coach have control over that space after the game, right? Mm-hmm. And so, and that's a great for the evaluation, talking about controllables. That's the other thing is we often will start to say in evaluation, I hear player, well, if they didn't do this or this didn't happen, it's about you. And you only in the evaluation, and evaluate the things you can control, the things that you have control over.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Okay. Yeah. So then the second part is that stress relief, right? And the rest, recovery, getting to higher ground. There's all sorts of different words for this. I always, and I love, and I'm so glad that Shelby introduced us to the pie, because I implement that in so many
it's awesome.
Areas now. And it works so well with this portion in particular. So you have your pie, if you remember, and you softball is a portion of it. There's all these other portions, and all of the other portions of you could potentially be stress relievers for you to get to higher ground, do something that's not softball. So if you have a hard, like, oh, I'm not sure what really decompresses me, or how to stress relieve, bubble baths don't really work for me, or what, it's not necessarily a bubble bath. It could be just taking your dog for a walk, mm-hmm. or if you have a spiritual practice you want to do, or reading. It's getting away from the game to let your body relax, mm-hmm. take your mind out of it, right?
Yep.
And so, and again, back to coaches, if you're at a tournament with back-to-back games, doing that post-talk, just a brief is possible so that the girls can have even 15, 20 minutes, whatever it is, mm-hmm. to decompress so that they can gain, pull themselves back and be refreshed and ready, and get their affirmations and their, whatever they need to get into the game is really, really important.
This is a really important topic. Number one, and we're going to address some heavier stuff in our next episode, but our game is a lot different than it was when I played. And I know it's evolved a lot since you played, Shelby, but the 12 months out of the year, 24/7 demand that youth sports has, right? Pick a sport, train 12 months hard out of the year, no breaks. If you want a big scholarship, you want to play in college, that's what you have to do. Right. So youth sports is taking somewhat of a dangerous turn mm-hmm. with the stress that we're putting on these kids, mm-hmm. right? And the expectations that we're putting on them younger and younger. I've got an athlete who's a freshman in high school, and she will play. She will get offers from big Division I schools. She's got the it factor, right? She is playing 18s, and she's a freshman, so she's young, and she's taken on a lot from a leadership perspective, and she's putting a ton of pressure on herself. And I could see the change in her the last couple of weeks from that pressure and that stress that she's feeling. And we had a great talk, and her and her family are getting ready to go on vacation here for the next week. And I said, kiddo, I mean, they're going to the beach. I said, she's like, I want to take my glove. And I was like, if you want to play catch on the beach, I mean, that's cool. I don't want you doing glove transfers. I don't want you doing kickbacks. I don't want you doing anything but hanging out and having fun with your family, because you need that time to decompress. So you come back fresh and you still love that game.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I have to say, I give a huge pat on the back to my parents, because I was gung-ho with softball. I wanted to pitch all the time. I wanted to go hit all the time. That's all I wanted to do. My friends were like, oh my gosh, Shelby, all you want to do is play home run derby in the backyard. Let's stop for a second. Like, it was just a constant thing that I wanted to do all the time, and I loved it. But I'm super grateful that my parents put me in basketball and made me play a different sport, because I would have been burnt out of softball like super fast. And I'm thankful that they made me go to my proms and my homecomings and all of those things with my friends. I still have such a good group of high school friends that I stay in touch with here. My good friends that I played softball with. I'm super happy and grateful that I had my family to make sure that I had that balance, because I could have very well just spiraled all the way into softball. Mm-hmm. And that was all me. So we go back to the pie, and that would have taken up probably 90% of my life. Yeah. So, and I'm just super grateful for my parents for making sure I see that.
Well, and so it is, huge. I mean, parents have to be aware of that. I mean, I've got an athlete mm-hmm. who last year, she plays high school soccer, right? So she was playing high school soccer and doing club softball and coming to workouts.
Mm-hmm.
And by the end of the soccer season, she melted, emotionally melted. She was overwhelmed. There was too much on her plate. So this year, you know, her dad and I had a great conversation, and he was like, I think she needs to take a break for the 6 weeks. And I said, I know you're right. Go enjoy soccer. You do you. And when mm-hmm. you're ready to come back, give me a call.
And sometimes you need that.
You do.
Mm-hmm.
You absolutely do.
Well, and I'm going to tell you that it isn't just on like the field that this stress happens. Like you can
absolutely.
Mm-hmm. I have a few girls who aren't sports girls, and they're mm-hmm. academic. They're driven strong by these strong academics. And so part of the stress relief is giving your brain something else to do other than what you're always focused on.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're always focused on softball, then you've got to find something else. And whatever it is, another, it could be another sport. It could be something, just something completely different so that you're stepping away. Precision shooting. A lot of people like that laser shooting and that precision because it's a concentration that uses a part of the brain that is useful for you on the field, but it's completely rewiring different synapses in your brain
I had a kiddo last night, and this is directly applicable, right? We had catching workouts last night, and in our small group catching workouts, I noticed one of my athletes just wasn't getting a whole lot of emotion out of her. And I'm like, "You gonna smile today?" And she goes, "I'm really stressed and overwhelmed." She's like, "I have 2 midterms tomorrow." And this is my kiddo who hits at 6 a.m. So she comes to catch at 8 p.m. Monday nights, and she comes at 6 a.m. in the morning to hit. And I said, "Do you want to hit in the morning?" She goes, "Yeah, I need to come hit. It's going to help me wake up and relax." And I said, "Let's get up and hit.
Let's go. Yep.
I mean, in that case, softball and hitting, that was her stress relief. Cause I'm like, "Oh man, I don't want you to have to get up early if you've got big tests, and I don't want to stress you out." And she goes, "No, I need this to decompress and I want to hit."
That's good that she knows that though. That's good that she can point that out.
I have a couple of girls who softball is their stress relief. So then I'm like, "Well, it's a stressful game. So how do we find inside your love and your passion and your stress relief from other things? How do we still keep it not stressful for you? Because it's still stressful." So
yeah. Yeah.
So
well, that's why, that's why coming back to that pie, I think, is so big, because what else is you? What makes you you? It's not just one thing. It's a million different things. So, Yeah. I think that's big.
So
awesome. So you guys, that is the game's thought management system. So it's goals, affirmation, mental power, evaluations, and stress relief. There's lots of ways that we customize it and move it around inside for each individual. If you have any questions about it, reach out to us on Behind the Dish at I could do it behind the dish.
You got it, girl.
My own address in there. I'm like, "Wait, no." I'm behind the dish at US, and we could help answer any questions that you might have around that. We thank you so much for listening and for being a part of our community.
So I'm going to jump in really quick because I saw a meme on Facebook that was really funny. when we talk about mental skills and what separates athletes in this game, right? It's the mental performance aspect. It's everything we've just recapped over the last couple of sessions, right? But I saw this meme that said, "My team knows every dance on TikTok, yet they can't remember our bunt coverage situations." Okay. What is missing?
Ain't that the truth?
It's that mental performance focus. It's everything that Dr. Ali has talked us through in this game's mental performance strategy. So when I saw that, I laughed. I was like, "I don't think if that's your team, man, they're not journaling. They're not setting goals."
Speaking of a goal, limit screen time.
Oh, buddy. So important. Yes.
All right. Well, guys, it was great talking about that. And obviously you guys can find us on all podcast platforms. Okay. We're on everything now. And this is, I wish I had this when I was younger to go through this. So if you guys haven't listened to all the episodes yet, please do go download all the stuff that we've put on behindthedish.us. And it's good stuff. Good stuff. So it was good talking to you guys today.
And the good news is I'm starting to feel the left side of my face a little bit more.
Her face is starting to recover.
It is. All right, everyone. Have a great day. Thanks for being with us. Thank you for spending your time with us today. We appreciate the opportunity to get to share our experiences and knowledge with you. If you haven't had a chance yet, please hit that subscribe button so you can tune in on future episodes. And be sure to follow us on social media at Behind the Dish SB for future episode information and guests. Make it a great day.